Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories. Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Sharicana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Sharicana. Thank you for joining us. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at speakonit.btr. Today, we are joined by our guest, Eunice Buffington.
Eunice Buffington is a genealogist, family historian, entrepreneur, generational trauma coach, speaker, and YouTube host, The Family Tree Buff. Her mission is to research, record, and reveal the unvarnished truth of lost and hidden blood ties using research and DNA analysis. Part of her mission is to raise awareness of the generational trauma inherited from ancestors and break the cycle of generational dysfunction by revealing the hurt in order to heal. Preserve pride in the importance of family by connecting the blood drops, one cousin at a time, and make an impact in communities through activism and being a voice for change. Welcome to Speak On It, Eunice Buffington.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. It is my absolute pleasure to be a guest, and I'm honored to have the opportunity to speak on my personal genealogy journey and the generational trauma that I found in my family tree.
Well, welcome to Speak On It, and thank you so much for being our guest today. So we'll go ahead and get started. Can you please share with our listeners, when and why did you start your genealogy journey?
Absolutely. I started my genealogy journey in 2007. I was in a master's level college assignment, and the assignment was to write about your genealogy. And it was to write a 10-page paper. I was able to write 2 pages. Hmm. That's all I knew of genealogy. I knew nothing else. And so with that assignment in mind, I ordered a book online. It was called The Buffington Family in America. And I ordered that book. The book had about 500 pages about the Buffington family in America. Of those 500 pages, there were 4 pages about the African-American Buffingtons and the enslaved Buffingtons.
Wow.
That piqued my interest. That absolutely piqued my interest. So I contacted the Genealogy Society in my home in Holly Springs, Mississippi, where I grew up at, and inquired about the Buffington family there, because that's where I knew my grandfather had came from, was Holly Springs, Poskamp, Mississippi. The Genealogy Society sent me one of their publications, and it mentioned my great-great-grandfather, Asbury Buffington, his brother, Cincinnatus Buffington, and how they were brought to Marshall County, Mississippi on a caravan that was led by Alexander Evans and his wife, Sophronia Buffington. That began my search for my family.
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
That is amazing.
So as a genealogist and family historian, we understand that you are interested in generational trauma. Please share with our listeners why it is important to address this aspect of family research.
Absolutely. My initial interest, as I said, in genealogy was to connect the dots. I was trying to connect the dots of my paternal great-grandfather, Asbury Buffington, to his family in Hall County, Georgia. And I wanted to prove through DNA that he not only carried the Buffington name, that he was a Buffington by blood, related to the family that brought him to Mississippi. In pursuit of that goal, as I was researching, I discovered so much trauma in our family tree, such as mental illness, family incest, substance abuse, domestic abuse, sexual abuse, divorce, murder, suicide, even several lynchings in the family line. And all that trauma was absorbed in the family and passed down. And so as a researcher, I could see generation after generation where that was passed down. And knowing my personal trauma, I did not want to be the person to pass down generation to generation again my own trauma. And I knew I had to be the person to be the change agent, because I was seeing it in generations before me, and I did not want to see it in generations after me. And I want to be a part of that change agent.
Wow. That is so powerful. You know, before we came on, I was looking at some of your YouTube videos, and I listened to your prayer for your family. And one of the things, and I'm sure you've heard this before, and Shara Khan and I, we've talked about it with other genealogists and historians, is about how you feel chosen when you're doing the work, how you actually feel like, you know what, I'm supposed to be doing something. And it feels deeper than just doing genealogy, just doing family history. But I love that prayer that you prayed for your family, and that you said specifically, praying for your personal genealogy journey and connecting and healing. And it's just powerful. And then just in you describing the trauma just now, I felt all of that. That is just so, it's moving, it's touching, because of two words that you said. You hear all of that, you learn about all of this, right, that went on in your family, and you wanted to be a change agent to make a difference, to say, it stops here. We can do something about this. I like that.
We can do something about it. Yes.
That's right. And it also makes me think of how one of the benefits to doing genealogy is developing a medical history, and you understand what, you know, physical illnesses may run in the family. But this is kind of like a different side of that, taking it to a different level of, you know, other emotional illnesses, you know, and mental illnesses. And this is kind of all part of that. And it's important to know. So this is powerful work for sure.
Yes. So, well, one of my degrees, my undergrad is in psychology.
Okay.
So understanding psychology, I understand how a person that's involved in, that's has a person in the family that's addicted to drugs, it not only affects that person, it affects the whole family and extends to the community.
That's right.
So likewise, that trauma affects the family, the individual, the family, and extends to the community. And so if we can understand that, back in before in enslavement time, just the art of enslavement, of enslaving a person, that was trauma in the family, on both sides, the white family and the black family.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some people in those families who were against slavery, and who wanted to teach them to read, wanted to teach them some liberties, but had to hide that. And that's trauma. And so on both sides, trauma is passed down. Yeah.
That's right. Very good point. Yep. So in your bio, you stress the importance of breaking the cycle of generational dysfunction. Can you share an example of this and how a specific cycle can be broken?
And I use my own personal history as an example, because that's what touched me the most, what I could see first. I am a mother, teenage pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I watched my niece do the same thing. I am now developing my great niece to break that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the cycles. I know that I can be a voice to somebody in my family, that you can overcome any trauma, any tragedy. It's how you heal from that. So we all go through something in life, but it's how you deal with it and how you heal from that. You can overcome that and you can triumph over that trauma. And so I wanted to be the beacon in my family. And I used teen pregnancy and childhood sexual abuse, which was my traumatizing event, and the teen pregnancy that followed. To break that cycle.
Wow. An important cycle to break, and unfortunately not an uncommon one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. I just like the fact that you're addressing it. Sometimes when we do genealogy research, you know, everybody wants to present it as something so, you know, they want to highlight all of the positives, and we don't talk about some of the craziness that has gone on in our families. I know for me, I was doing some research in the beginning, and my grandmother said that my grandfather, he sold alcohol. So I honestly, and again, now this is 20 something years ago, I really thought he was like a professional liquor salesman. And so when I said, well, what company did he work for? And she was like, what are you talking about? What company? She said he made it. So he was a bootlegger. Sold moonshine, and he was really, really good at it. But the problem with that is that alcoholism runs in my family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so I said, you know, it's not going to happen with me. It's not going to happen with my children. So you're absolutely right. You know, you identify, you find, you discover something, or you experience something and being that change agent to say, it's not going to happen. If I have anything to do with it, if I can prevent, if I can teach, if I can educate, and if I can even share, you know, look, you know, for me, I have family members or ancestors that were professors, they were pastors, they were farmers, but then look here, I have the one that was a bootlegger. And and sharing, you know, you know, if you're going to drink, you don't have to drink to excess. You don't have, you can break that cycle. It doesn't have to, you know, doesn't have to continue. Right. As it pertains to your personal family history, how far back have you been able to trace your ancestors? And is there a major highlight that you would like to share that inspires you to continue your research?
Yes. So I will share on my Buffington, on the Buffington line, I've traced all the way back to the early 1700s in England.
Wow.
They were Quakers. They were Quakers that came to the United States looking for a new way to avoid persecution from their religious persecution. And uh-huh. so even then, even way back then, they brought with them indentured servants that they did not classify enslaved as an indentured servant. When they got to the New World, they began to assume, and they later acquired enslaved people. Mm-hmm. And so I can trace all the way back the parallel of indentured servitude with slavery, with enslaved people who made it and created one of my lines. And so that's a traumatizing event. You're paired up with someone who eventually can leave and go, but you can never leave. Mm. Your life is controlled by someone else. And so you are forced to be alienated or separated from your family, your loved ones. That's a traumatizing event. And then you move on forward. Often when we don't learn the traumatizing event, we learn to live in the trauma. So we begin to live in the trauma and repeat the trauma. That's how it goes to the next generation and the next generation. We learn to repeat that trauma. So we get used to the trauma and we start to repeat it. For me, the childhood sexual abuse, I became sexually promiscuous at an early age. So that was just repeating the trauma that was acting onto me. And I was just repeating it until I was able to understand that it wasn't me at that age, separate myself from that trauma and to learn how to heal from that trauma. It was only when I was an adult in my 50s that I was able to heal and learn to be able to speak about the trauma that I endured as a child without being fear of reprisal, without fear of being ashamed, without any kind of fear that I could, and I knew then I'd actually healed from that when I could speak about it in that five-year-old voice and not feel that hurt and pain.
Right. And the shame isn't yours and wasn't yours to bear.
And exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So as a generational trauma coach, have you seen positive results with your clients?
And actually I have. Every time I give that my trauma, triumph over trauma speak, and I just did it last Saturday. Every time I give that speak, so I have several people that come that had reached that platform where they recall something, some traumatic event in their history that they encountered, and they're able to connect it to actions as an adult. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of breaking the cycle. That's the absolute beginning to understand where this pattern of dysfunction comes from. And then you can work to change that pattern of dysfunction when you know where it came from. One of the things that just recently in a presentation, a person came forward to me and said that she had been abused as a child as well. Her abuser has long since passed, but it affected her marriage. It affected her children. She said she just could not let it go. She just could not let it go. Still today, she couldn't let it go. And I explained to her, you're still living in the trauma.
Right.
And so you cannot, you're still living in it. You're still blaming yourself or blaming him. Something about that going over like a loop in your head. And until you let that get resolved, that all your relationships will still be impacted by that until you. And so it was just then that she was able to see the connection. And so I say, yes, I'm able to impact and I see the positive results.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
Very powerful. And to me, I feel like that's a part of your prayer when you said praying for your journey. It's not just for your family, but other people that you meet. And if you can help them. In reviewing some of your videos, I loved how you say you're connecting the dots. and your work, the emphasis is not leaving anyone behind, making sure that they're whole. I love that. And then it, I love the snippets that you had on your YouTube channel of different family members speaking at the family reunions, where there was just such an emphasis not to leave anyone behind, to collect the information from the younger generations, to show them how they're connected. So the work that you're doing is powerful, not only dealing with generational trauma, but making sure people feel, your family members feel like, you know what, you're a part of this family and your information is important and we want you to be included. So I love the snippets that you had for your family from the family reunions.
And quick, also, what kind of motivated you to start, wanting to help other people with their generational trauma? You know, so obviously with yourself,
My background in psychology, I was a counselor for 7 years. And so I kind of joined those things together. My love of genealogy, my love of family, and my love of healing through the counseling and healing. And so I was seeing the patterns in our trees. And I could see it in my own family. And so I wanted to be part of that change agent to show my family that we can heal. We can heal as a family, as individuals. And if we heal as an individual, that impacts the family. If we heal as a family, we can take that healing to our communities.
Exactly. I think what I like about that is, you know, when we do genealogy, on some level, you know, we do it for ourselves, right? And, you know, we may have a personal call to it, just a personal interest. And then it starts to kind of trickle out into, you know, connecting with other family members. But there is, it kind of comes a point, you know, with genealogy work is like, okay, how can we use this work to help other people? You know, how to bring it outside of ourselves all the time. And I just, you know, I love hearing the ways people are able to connect that with other passions, you know, that can help other people. So this is like really, it's great work and it's important work. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. It's one of my passions. When I started genealogy, and especially when I added the DNA component to it, and I saw those 2,000 cousins, I wanted to know, how are we connected? And so I was intentional in finding out, if I just can figure out how we're connected and be able to reveal to you, to tell you we are connected through this ancestor. That was my initial goal. But seeing those patterns and patterns of dysfunction and patterns of in our family lines, it all came around to, I can't just do it for me. I have to help my family and other families too.
Right.
And so, yes.
That's powerful. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I'm thinking, you know, I've attended a lot of genealogy conferences, and now that I think of it, I don't think there's ever been one conference that I've attended where they've actually dealt with family history and trauma. Before we move on to our next question, in your travels, have you met other people that are even touching on trauma at genealogy conferences?
Not at genealogy conference. And I was so surprised, and I've been to several conferences, I go to them every year. I was absolutely surprised, because I know as a genealogist, if I'm finding in the family tree, in my family tree and the trees that I'm in, I'm
you're not the only one. Members,
I'm not the only one.
Wow. You know, we belong to Ox, so maybe that's something that should be brought up, because I like one of the words you use in your bio about the unvarnished, I think it is, and revealing the unvarnished history, or things that we just keep going over and over and over again, or glossing over it and saying, oh, we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that, but we do need to have a discussion about it. And that's what we're titling this segment, Genealogy Research and Trauma. Let's talk about it, because it's not being addressed or talked about.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. Yes.
One of your main life quotes or mantras is triumph over tragedy. How do you relate or connect this to genealogy? And can you share an example of an ancestor or ancestors that exemplifies this, triumph over tragedy?
The first one to come to mind is my maternal great-great-grandfather, Martin Robinson. Martin Robinson was born in 1820. He was enslaved by the Hendon family. I first found him listed among five slaves in the will of Robinson Hendon. Robinson Hendon was the grandson of Hannah Robinson. He was bought and sold by at least three different enslavers, including Jesse Garrett of Lawrence, South Carolina, who put in his will, at my death, said Negro man, Martin. My grandpa Martin was again sold with his enslaved wife and a young child, Henry. They were advertised in a Lawrence, South Carolina newspaper, November 1853, the sale of Negro field hand Martin, female field hand and housemaid Matilda, and young son, 1-year-old Henry. We have no idea what happened to Matilda and Henry, but he was separated from his people, sold from one enslaver to another. One can only imagine what life was like for Grandpa Martin, an enslaved frontier man who helped tame and build America through his forced labor until he escaped or was either emancipated after the Civil War. He endured and survived the trauma of brutal enslavement, forced separation, alienation. He even witnessed a horrifying lynching in Lawrence, South Carolina. Yet he triumphed over those tragedies. When he became free, Martin led a peaceful life, a life of fortitude and peace. He lived for over 40 years. He married twice and raised a large family, appearing on the 1870, 1880, and 1900 census in Abbeville, Lafayette County, Mississippi. He triumphed over his trauma.
Wow.
And as you talk about this, I'm thinking about my own family, you know, who triumph over tragedy. I love that phrase. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So can you please share with our listeners some parting words of inspiration?
For each of us, we've all encountered something in our life that have been traumatic, that may have been traumatic in our lives. And we're survivors. I myself count myself as a survivor. But what happens after we survive is called healing. And we have to go through that healing part so that we do not transfer our transgressions, our anger, our misfortunes onto future generations. And so I'm a part of that healing network. And I'm available to anyone to reach out to. I'm a part of that healing connection. As you reveal your family history and you find that there's dysfunction in the family, it does not have to continue with you. You can be the change agent. And so I would like to be the change agent in my family to do that.
That's powerful.
That's beautiful. Eunice Buffington, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. You can learn more about Eunice Buffington at www.familytreebuff.com. We thank you for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It. And I would also like to encourage our listeners, if you are dealing with generational trauma, please do reach out. Do not deal with it alone. Do not be scared to ask for help.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. We are thankful to Bernice Bennett, who hosted research at the National Archives and beyond, for entrusting us to continue her broadcast legacy through Speak On It. Thank you. Walking around in their right minds with all that our ancestors went through.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
So that's where I stand. We're family. And it's nice to meet be with a new family member, Jerricana.
Oh, wow. These are really like moving words, just so and timely, and also helps to, you know, food for thought on how to move our research further and get closer with each other. Linda Morris, thank you so much for sharing with us and our listeners. Such a beautiful word. And you can find Linda on Facebook at facebook.com/MLikeMary, LLikeLarry, Morris 806. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It.
And before we completely close out, congratulations on 2 years of meeting with your family group. Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. We are thankful to Bernice Bennett, who hosted research at the National Archives and beyond, for entrusting us to continue her broadcast legacy through Speak On It. Thank you.